Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the March 2025 edition of Fox Chatter. On today's episode, we'll get an overview of our March drill, which will run from Thursday the 27th of February through Sunday the 2nd of March. We'll be conducting our semi-annual readiness exercise in addition to accomplishing preparation for our upcoming mobilization. Today's guests on the podcast will include Colonel Hyde Remberger with some additional information on Exercise Fox Madness. We'll also have an update on world events from Airman First Class Selena Armstrong, and we'll talk through some safety topics with Senior Master Sergeant Tim Urch. We'll also have Master Sergeant Justin Caton, who's going to provide some information on the upcoming Top Gun drill meet. Before we dive into those topics, let's talk about some recent happenings affecting our wing. There have been a lot of changes with our upper echelons of leadership. At the state level, Brigadier General Robin Stillwell has been selected by Governor McMaster to succeed Major General McCarty as the next Adjutant General for South Carolina. Brigadier General Stillwell currently serves as the Director of the Joint Staff and will move into the TAG position once he's confirmed by the South Carolina Legislature, which will likely occur around the April timeframe. We'll talk a little more on that in an upcoming podcast. At the national level, nearly all of the political appointees have rotated out. There have been numerous executive orders and policy changes, which have all been implemented already at our wing. We're still waiting on some final guidance on the Federal Employee Deferred Resignation Initiative, also called the Fork in the Road. All Title 32 dual status technicians have been removed from eligibility from that program. A request for exemption for all Title 5 employees has also been submitted, but that hasn't been decided on as of now. These technician positions are vital to our organization and our national security, and we can't afford to lose them. We'd also started talking a lot recently about becoming a deployable combat wing and restructuring our organization to better prepare us for potential future conflicts, which Secretary Kendall spoke to us about during his visit to McIntyre last fall. Secretary Hegseth, the new Secretary of Defense, has asked the Air Force to pause all efforts until a new Secretary of the Air Force can review the plan and ensure that's the direction they still want to go. Dr. Troy Mink has been nominated as the next SECAF, but he's still awaiting confirmation by Congress, so the timeline of implementation of the DCW remains unknown. This is a positive outcome for us, though. We now have some extra time to collect more data and build a better game plan without rushing into a reorganization. I'm only addressing these topics to provide some contextual background so that you can better understand the types of issues we have to deal with at the wing on a daily basis. From the wing's perspective, our primary focus remains preparing for our upcoming ONE commitment. This is a mobilization event. It's no different than us deploying to the Middle East, but we have the luxury of remaining at home station. We're going to take a small step back from ONE and conduct an exercise over this four-day super drill. This is required to build our core readiness and continue on a schedule of routinely practicing and operating in a contested environment. We live in a dynamic world, and that requires us to be as prepared as possible in case we are called to action. All right, next up, we have Colonel Hyde Remberger, your deputy wing commander, who is going to talk to us about Fox Madness and our upcoming exercise. So, Hyde, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Tripp. All right. I know Flex talked last month about the kind of the big overview of the exercise. There's been a lot of work and a lot of details worked out between then and now. They've done a lot of great work in the A-Staff, the IG shop. Major Bass is the warlord, doing a lot of effort to put this exercise together for us. And I think it's going to really test us. First thing I'll talk to is just kind of the commander's intent that you laid out for us. This is going to just build on all the exercises that we've done in the past. And, you know, we did an ACE event, you know, a year and a half ago back here at McIntyre, and then we did the Caribbean Fox, and then we did the Cry and the Fry, and we learned some stuff there, and then this is just going to build upon that. Things that we're going to add that we haven't done in a long, long time is Seaburnie and TCCC and mass casualty type events. So those are the kind of the big DLOs, is to add in those, that Seaburnie and that TCCC, and then expand on a little bit more dynamic movement of the aircraft to potentially moving them to multiple locations and to try to further make the command and control complex in a very dynamic environment, and throwing on top of the Seaburnie and TCCC, I think it's going to be a pretty challenging event. And then we'll kind of talk about the kind of the flow events as we get going. It is a super drill. We're not going to exercise for 4 days. You're not going to be wearing chem gear for 4 days. So hopefully everybody, that kind of calms everybody down a little bit. The main exercise days are going to be Friday and Saturday. So Thursday, you'll have a chance to kind of do roll calls in your squadrons, we'll get a road to war, that Intel is briefed at the secret level to kind of get us all on the same page of the context of what's going on. And then Thursday morning, we'll do some dry runs. We'll get the walk over to the walk. We'll get the EOC. You'll hear giant voices going on around the base. Those are all kind of just practice dry runs to get everybody up to speed. You'll get a chance to review the products because there's a lot of products. The player's guide is going to be something you're definitely going to want to read, and the airman's manual and the TCCC and the CBRNE stuff. I know a lot of us have done the training, but you'll have a chance on Thursday to kind of review some of those things before we go fights on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, we can all take a breath. And then Sunday's main focus is going to be to prep for O&E to make sure we got all our I's dotted and T's crossed, that we're ready to do the mobilization that you talked about before. Other highlights, some more of the details. So that's kind of the overview. From personnel standpoint, just realize we will have, as you talked about, the DCW and the things that are moving forward. As we take a pause on that, we are still kind of told that we're paired with a MAF wing, and that's kind of the direction that may change. And again, that's on pause, but we will have a guest here from Rhode Island, mainly their wing commander, their vice, their OG, and I think some other players will be here. And they're actually bringing one of their aircraft down here. So on Thursday, they're going to be flying a C-130 down from Rhode Island with some of their leadership and some of their tacticians. And then they're just going to be basically over the shoulder. So if you see them walking around the base, they won't be playing. They're not bringing their chem gear. They're here just to do basically the meet and greet. And you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So if you see them, obviously customs and courtesies and all those things apply to all those folks that are here. And this is our chance to make an impression on a wing that we're going to have close relationships with probably over the next 3 years and maybe longer. So treat them with respect and then just show them the Swamp Fox way like we know how. We're going to have the standard kind of setup, right? So the McIntyre is going to be the mob, and everyone that is at McIntyre in the play area is deployed to the mob. It's during the week, so we're going to have some civilians on base that are non-players, but everybody that's wearing a uniform that can physically go to work is going to go to work, and we're going to be at the mob ready to fight, all right? Other stuff, kind of admin stuff for products and references and things that you can read. The wing SharePoint's where you're going to want to go. So just hit the home button on your web browser and it'll go to the SharePoint. And there's a button right there on the homepage that goes to the CRE Fox Madness. Go to that. And then it's got all of your information that you're going to want to review on Thursday. Big stuff there is you're going to want to review the player's guide. It's about a 45 to 50 page document that's got a lot of info. A lot of it's for reference when you need to use it for the TCCC stuff and the CBRNE. And it's a quick overview of the stuff that we've been kind of looking at. But it's got things like the organizational structure. It's got TCCC, CBRNE. It's got all the FPCON stuff, all the cyberspace protection conditions, OPSEC stuff. It's got emergency action plans. It's got, you know, how to do a PAR team. So a lot of great info in the player's guide. And then it's also got references to the airman's manual and then some quick reaction stuff that you're going to want to have access to. The days are gone of us printing out nice player's guides and airman's manuals that you're going to have in your uniform pockets. Those aren't provided to us anymore. So if there are parts and pieces that you need to print out to kind of move around and have with you, then you can do that as well. Other stuff that's kind of non-standard is we'll be using Nipper C2 Imera to pass a lot of the information. We introduced that back in the CRI and it worked out relatively well. We're going to continue learning how to use that. So your CCOs and command channels should be up on that. The walk will be there pushing out information. So we're going to do personnel accountability via that. That's how TRIP's going to push out ICCDs for directions on stuff that changes and things that we're going to need to execute through the exercise. And that'll be basically where the truth data lies for the exercise. All of that is mirrored on SIPR as well. So we've got a SIPR SharePoint, and then we've got a good comm plan set up and a pace plan set up to how we're going to communicate either internal to McIntyre at the mob or to the FOSSes once we start moving airplanes and people around. Some more specifics on the flows of events. So on Thursday, again, you'll hear those giant voice announcements. You'll probably see a recall go out for the walk and the EOCs. And then we're just going to do a quick huddle. We'll do a quick commander's update brief. It'll give us a chance to get everybody on the same page, get a chance for the DSGs that are going to be players on those teams to show up and kind of get caught up on all the stuff that's happened since last drill. And then we'll break, we'll go to lunch, and then we'll come back. And then you'll see basically two MAF aircraft show up that's going to help us execute the exercise. So we have a C-130 coming in from Rhode Island, like I talked about. We've also got a C-17 coming in from Charlotte that's going to help us flush airplanes and people and fuel to the FOSS locations as we execute the exercise. So we'll probably do a meet and greet with them in the afternoon to get them up to speed on kind of what's going on. Throughout the weekend, you'll see on the drill schedule that some of our RAT instructors, so our Ready Airmen training events, we're going to take this opportunity of a captive audience to kind of knock some of that stuff out as well. So you'll see one of those events on Thursday afternoon. It's about 3 hours of training. I swear it'll be worth your time. We'll be able to check a lot of the boxes off for a lot of that RAT training that we need to execute that we're not going to have probably an opportunity to do while we're mobilized this summer. So you'll see those on Thursday, and then you'll see other events just like that. And we're going to repeat that on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So there'll be opportunities throughout the weekend to make it over there. And I highly recommend you get your folks over there at least once. Friday, we're going to go Fights On at 8 o'clock. So we're calling Friday basically the See Bernie Day. The big deal, though, for Friday is to take what we learned from the emergency management folks that taught us See Bernie and then use some practical and some tactical execution while we're all wearing the mop gear that we all probably haven't put on in a long time. So if you haven't done the See Bernie training, then it's a steeper of a learning curve that day. If you have, then you can take the stuff that you learned in class and then figure out how you're going to do your job while you're wearing that stuff. The Stardex conditions for Friday will be Alarm Green Mop 2. So be ready with that at 0800 and be ready to go Fights On Friday. Probably not a chance to have roll calls or probably not be rolling on the base at 8 o'clock. You probably want to get here, get your stuff on, get ready to go, and be ready to go Fights On at 8 o'clock because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. And then Friday, we're going to have two flying goes like we normally do. There's going to be missile attacks. We're going to be launching airplanes. We may be landing airplanes at multiple locations. All that's going to be based on what the White Force throws at us. And then those missile attacks are probably going to have a chem element. We're probably going to have to put our chem gear on. I promise you won't be wearing it all day. So it may suck for a little bit, but it'll get better, I promise. And then we'll be done with it. And then we'll do some tactical execution throughout the day. And then we will pause. We'll get recovered. We'll recover the airplanes. And then the plan is to get all our people and all of our equipment and all of our aircraft back. And then the plan is no one's going to have to sleep outside of their normal, either their hotel or back at their house. So we're going to pause X at the end of the day. We're shooting for around 1600. And that at 1600, if this plan gets orchestrated right, all the jets, the people, the aircraft, everything is back at McIntyre so that we can hit pause and then go ready for Fights On again on Saturday. Saturday, that's more of what we're going to call the TCCC day. So we're not going to do as much of the chem stuff on Saturday, but the basic flow of the flying and the execution will be roughly the same as what we saw on Friday. That'll give us a chance to build on the lessons from the previous day. And then the Stardex conditions for Saturday, as of right now, will be Alarm Green Mop 0, and then expect to kind of roll that way. The big thing for Saturday is that we're going to have a major accident response exercise that will require us to do some TCCC, and we're going to have some White Force from medical walking around giving injects, and then obviously just take that stuff to a logical conclusion and work through some execution and some TCCC concepts that you learned in training. But that'll give us a chance to get more reps and sets. That'll probably give us a chance to, you did it on Friday, so all right, now it's your turn. Somebody else gets to do what you did on Friday, and you get to do it on Saturday. So as we move airplanes again to other FLOSS locations and get the jets back, we'll flush and then we'll bring all the jets back, all the people, all the equipment back to McIntyre. And at the end of Saturday, you should see the index again, roughly around 1600 or so. And then that'll be it basically for the exercise. Sunday will be a hot wash, a chance for the WIT folks to go in and write down what we learned so we don't forget about it. Because guess what? We don't have a drill in April. We're going to be right into a mobilization. And the next time that we have a normal drill won't be till football season. So Sunday will be a chance for us to get this stuff written down so that we don't lose these lessons and we can build upon this as we move forward. And then Sunday will also be a day to kind of make sure that we've got every I dotted T crossed for making sure that we're ready for the mobilization for ONE. So if you got a player in that, then you'll have some white space on Sunday to make that happen. I can't talk about all this without talking about OPSEC and classification. So we're going to be talking on Zipper. We're going to be talking on Nipper. We're talking about on Unclassified podcast right now. So just think through OPSEC, think through pieces of information that can be out there, that can be pieced together, that can the enemy can use against us. So just do that and then just watch before you hit send on an email, before you make a phone call, make sure you know what means you're talking on and what piece of information you're going to pass, and you're doing it at the appropriate level so we don't catch ourselves in trouble. And then that goes with safety as well. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of locations, a lot of stuff that we haven't done before. We got MAF aircraft coming in here that we don't normally use. People are going to be flying on those aircraft, doing things that they're not normally used to doing. So we need supervisors, we need safety monitors, we need folks that can call knock it off so that we don't damage anyone, damage any aircraft, damage any equipment. So, and then we got to be really good about articulating real world versus exercise. We got to make sure that those lines are not crossed throughout the exercise. So alert's still going on. We're going to be in command post doing a lot of stuff, but they got a real world mission to do. And then obviously the defenders got a real world mission to do. The fire department's got a real world mission to do. So if any of that stuff happens, then it's over to you to knock it off and execute their real world mission. That's overall kind of what the exercise looks like. Hopefully it's not too painful. It'll be a good building block for us. Again, like the goal was not to be perfect. And I know we've said that before, but we want people to make mistakes. We want people to learn from them. That's how we get better. If you want to put somebody in a challenging position, again, the goal is to not be perfect.
Yeah. And people will put a lot of effort into planning this and making sure that we get the training that we need out of it. So don't waste the opportunity, right? And don't be afraid to make mistakes. We're training so we can learn from it and pass it on and just get better from it. All right. I appreciate you coming in and giving us a quick rundown of what we can expect for the exercise. Again, it's going to be a challenge, but we're doing the mission, so it should be a fun challenge. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Tripp.
To help us get a better understanding of world events, we have Airman First Class Selena Armstrong from the 169th Operational Support Squadron Intelligence Flight. Selena, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me. So I have a roll-up of Ukraine and Russia and the current events going on there, China and the Middle East. So I'll be starting with the Ukraine and Russian war going on right now. U.S. and Russia have engaged in the first talks since the start of the invasion in Saudi Arabia. Both parties agreed to begin ongoing peace negotiations. Ukraine was not invited to this. There will likely be talks with Ukraine later. Conflicts to the peace agreements would be Ukraine wanting to join NATO, and Russia sees that as a threat, having a NATO ally that close to Russian borders, as well as another conflict would be the Ukrainian troop and military size. Russia would see that as threatening if they would maintain the amount of troops and the size of the military that they have now. As well as for the territory, Russia is still making gradual land advances, and they've taken about 20% of Ukraine. What would happen to that territory is the question. And then some F-16 news in Ukraine. Recently, the F-16s have been seen carrying GBU-39s, which gives them a air-to-ground role. This hasn't been seen until recently in Ukraine. They were originally used for air-to-air engagements and protecting Ukrainian assets from drones and cruise missiles. Moving into China, tensions have been going on in the South China Sea, this one specifically focusing on the Philippines. Two J-16s intercepted an Australian P-8, which is an intelligence collection aircraft. The J-16s flew within 100 feet and performed a headbutt maneuver and released flares really close to that P-8, which is seen as unsafe and unprofessional. And China accused the P-8 of deliberately intruding into disputed areas around the Paracel Islands. Another incident happened earlier this month. A Chinese Navy helicopter allegedly flew within 10 feet of a Philippine patrol plane near disputed Scarborough Shoal. And this just shows the increasing presence that China has been conducting in the disputed reefs area, as well as incursions within the Philippine Exclusive Economic Zone. In response to this, the Philippines plans to hold a large 10-day exercise in March, starting on the 3rd. The U.S. has a Typhoon missile system that has been deployed in the Philippines since April 2024, and it has recently moved into a new undisclosed location on the island. This has a range of about approximately 1,000 miles and has land, sea, air capabilities, so China sees this as a major threat in that area. In the Taiwan area, China has been conducting a military exercise this month using spy balloons, naval vessels, and military planes. China reports these spy balloons to be just for weather, but at the altitude they are flying at, it's likely not for weather. It's more for intelligence collection. The spy balloons are used to get analysis of pattern of life on the islands, as well as potential areas to strike if they were to invade Taiwan. And then finally, we have the Middle East. The U.S. strike in Syria killed a top al-Qaeda official. The official was a senior logistics official, as well as the U.S. conducted airstrikes in Somalia and killed at least 16 ISIS militants and destroyed a bomb factory. This just shows the ongoing U.S. battle against terrorist groups in the Middle East. And then the Israel and Hamas ceasefire has been ongoing. Hamas is prepared to release all the hostages, but Israel must pull back troops to the edges of Gaza.
All right. Based on what you said, there's trouble or conflict always brewing around us, and it seems to be in the Pacific, in Europe, and in the Middle East. So everywhere you look, there is something that may require a reaction from us, and that's exactly why we need to have exercises and do our training and make sure we're always prepared and ready to go. So Selena, thanks a lot. Appreciate the wrap-up.
Thank you, sir.
All right, next up, we have Senior Master Sergeant Tim Murch from Wing Safety, and he's going to talk to us about some recent safety incidents. largely centered around the front gate. One of the most dangerous things you do every day is come into work and leave work out of the front gate. So we've had several traffic fatalities that have occurred within the past year, and it's to a point where, we need to start talking about it a little bit more. So Tim, welcome.
Thank you, sir. As Colonel Bowe said, we've had some recent fatalities, which is unfortunate. We're trying to do our best to raise awareness. We recently had safety office put on an in-processing checklist, so any newcomers to the Air Guard side were able to meet with them one-on-one to give them the issues that are at the front gate and kind of ways to mitigate potential accidents. One of them is when you're coming on the installation from Columbia, maintain the right lane when you're turning onto the installation. Do not go around the cones because that could cause somebody turning from Sumter to have to pause in 378, which could cause an accident. As well as when you're turning left from Sumter, be extra cautious. It is hard to tell which lane of travel a vehicle that's coming at you is in. So it's best to just kind of sit and wait until you have a large opening and you know that you can easily cross the intersection. Not only coming onto the installation as a hazard, leaving the installation is an issue as well. About 5 or 6 years ago, we met with DOT and got them to change the light, changing from red to green, delay it in a couple of seconds. But we still, on a daily basis, see vehicles running the red light going both directions on 378. So we just suggest you allow a little bit extra time, a couple of extra seconds when the light turns green to ensure that everybody's going to stop before you turn out in the intersection. We met a couple of days ago with DOT about some potential options or suggestions for minor changes at the front gate. It was some good conversation and it kind of opened up the pathway for potential future changes. So just be aware if you start seeing some changes at the front gate, that's because we're trying to protect our people coming on and off the installation. If those changes do come into effect, we will try and get the word out as soon as possible so people can be prepared for those.
So to keep this as simple as possible, slow down. Take an extra second before you're leaving base, before you pull out across traffic and make sure there's not a car coming. Traffic from Columbia and from Sumter is going probably a minimum of 60 miles an hour around some blind curves. And then all of a sudden they see the first stoplight they've seen in several miles. So they might not be prepared for it. And you need to make sure they're going to stop before you pull out in front of them. And then the same thing for coming onto base, just like you said. Coming from Bunkies, take a few extra seconds and make sure that any traffic that's approaching you is stopping before you turn out in front of them. And also just take your time. There's no rush. You can take an extra light cycle to get to work. Nothing on McIntyre is going to happen in that next minute and a half that requires you to be there. So just take your time and don't have any accidents.
Yes, sir. And don't drive distracted, whether being on a cell phone, eating food, putting on makeup. Be aware that majority of the people around the country are distracted while they're driving, not paying attention, thinking about what's going to happen at work. What am I going to do when I get home? So they're not quite paying attention to their surroundings. So, you know, it's on you to be extra vigilant when you're driving, to be aware of what other people are doing, you know, more of that defensive driving mindset.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thanks to the safety shop, Tim, for having to address this issue. It's obviously not pleasant when you're talking about accidents and fatalities. And that goes for the first responders as well. So security forces is at the gate and has to respond to these things. And then our fire department and our flight docs even responded to the last one. So it's never a pleasant thing. So I appreciate everybody doing what they can to help keep us safe.
Yes, sir. And thank you again for having me. And if anybody's got any questions or suggestions about the front gate and possible courses of action that we can present to DOT to make some changes, you know, feel free to reach out to our office. You can also send any questions, suggestions through the comment section on the app as well. And then PA will get that information over to us. We'll go ahead and compile that data and get that to them.
Up next, we have Master Sergeant Justin Caton from recruiting, and he's going to provide us some info on the upcoming Top Gun drill meet. Before he starts, the Top Gun drill meet is junior ROTC cadets from around the state and the local community who are competing in a drill meet. And this gives them a good chance to come out to McIntyre, see a operating military base, and more immerse themselves in a military environment instead of being in the classroom. So it's a great recruiting opportunity for us, and it's a great way for us to give back to the local community. So Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, sir. So thank you for having me again. This year, the Top Gun drill meet is going to be held April 12th. Everything is going to be at the JAFRIC, the judges meeting, the instructor meeting, and all the drill pads will actually be contained at the JAFRIC this year. We have 12 different high schools from the local area and across the state of South Carolina, roughly about 200 cadets. Top Gun Drill Meet is always a big hit every year that we have it. It's been going on for 21 years now. We will have food trucks again this year at the Top Gun Drill Meet. Last year, we had some ice cream and some different things at the event. This year, we were looking for 20 to 30 volunteers. These volunteers are going to be used as score runners from the drill pads to the score room. We're also looking for volunteers to participate in the score room. We're also needing volunteers for judges and individuals who can help us out keeping the water stanchions filled and to help pass out food to the cadets whenever it's time for them to eat lunch and anything in between that we may need. During drill meet, we serve all the instructors breakfast to serving the cadets and the instructors lunch. So we definitely need a lot of hands to help us out with this. It's definitely a McIntyre community event, and all the students look forward to this to the point that Crestwood and Sumter High and Spring Valley have already started their little friendly competition as they do every year. So it's nice to see how these children look forward to participating in this event every year. This is a great opportunity for you to give back to the community. In addition, if you're a member of JRTC in high school, it allows you to reconnect with the school and future volunteer opportunities.
Justin, thanks for the information. Again, the Top Gun Drill Meets, very important to us, and anybody who has the time to volunteer and the willingness is welcome and appreciated. So thanks a lot. All right, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Fox Chatter. Since March is a super drill, there won't be a drill in April. But we're also going to be starting O&E at that time. The next drill we're going to have is going to be in May, and that's also going to be Family Day. This drill is going to be exciting. We're attempting to expand our capabilities into things we've never done before. We're going to relearn some skills that we may have forgotten. So I need you to come into this drill with an open mind and a good attitude. It's going to be difficult at times, but we're all here working together and learning how to be a more lethal fighting force. Thanks for everything you're doing right now in March, and we'll see you again in May. Fights on.